Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There he was. Did you see him? That's Jesus Christ. Or at least, he's calling himself that. Do you remember? You know who he is? Remember, nothing good ever comes from Nazareth. And yet there's Jesus preaching in the synagogue in his hometown. And you know what? We're impressed. We're very impressed at the quality of his teaching on this Sabbath day. We're amazed at his mighty works. In fact, if you remember, he has just healed Jairus' daughter. He brought her back from the dead. So I have two questions that I think we need to ask. From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? And we know if we ask a question from Scripture, where do we find the answer? In Scripture. So we go to Luke chapter 2. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul calls Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ was endowed with wisdom from on high. God his Father was the whence from whom Jesus of Nazareth had these things. And here also the Bible clearly points to the divine nature of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the reading goes on, and the reading really has two sections today. It goes on about talking about Jesus from Nazareth in a very demeaning way. Yes, Jesus was the carpenter's son. He was the son of Mary. And we know from the reading, Jesus had some relatives there. We always love to have relatives in the audience when we're giving a sermon, don't we? Jesus had his brothers and his sisters there, for Christ was indeed human, the very man of very man. For you see, both the divine and human nature of Christ are essential to yours and my salvation. Only God can save us from our sins. But God can save us from our sins only by being a man who took upon himself, upon the cross, to die and wash all of our sins away. The sins from the past, the sins from the future, and the sins from today. Christ took them all upon himself. But do you hear the irony that's there in the gospel reading? It's in verse 4. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Jesus was saying that he had encountered respect, acceptance. In fact, large crowds were following him everywhere except in his own hometown of Nazareth and among his own relatives. You know, it's a piece of wisdom so often confirmed by human experience since Jesus first said it that we know it as an actual proverbial phrase. What is that phrase? It is how often prominent statesmen, authors, professors, artists, and other famous people have found themselves cut down to size by people who nursed them, who played with them, or grew up with them in their childhood environment. Not worthy in their own hometown, are they? But, and I threw this in there just for my Greek students that are here this morning, but the penultimate and ironic acclamation or application of Jesus' proverbial saying his relationship was with his heavenly country, his heavenly kin, his heavenly house during his crucifixion, in that terrible time that was taking place for Jesus, in what would be totally incomprehensible for any of us. Jesus discovered he was a prophet without honor in his heavenly home. In the eyes of God at that time, Jesus was a lowly worm and no man. Why? The question begs to be asked, why? All this happened for us. He was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes we are healed. The pain, the suffering, the beatings, the crucifixion on the cross was so that you and I all now can look forward to perpetual honor in our eternal home with God, our eternal Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we all y'all, for those of you from Texas, can be called the sons of God. But that's only the first half of that reading. Let's look closely now at that second half. There are a couple of aspects, beginning at verse 7, that need to be considered. And they are this concerning the gospel and how it is read and how it is delivered to others. Jesus alone is our daily bread in our mission activities. Jesus alone, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, and we will do shortly, gives us this day our daily bread. Jesus is sufficient for our witness to others. They should take nothing for their journey. Jesus alone provides this sufficiency, and he gave them the power over unclean spirits. All of this is from God. Trusting in Christ above all things and empowered by him alone. And here I just want to take a second is to remember all those who are going out now on their vicarages, all those who are going out on their first calls. I feel like it was just yesterday that I stood here and listened to the students, having Griff here as one of my classmates, Dr. Frequencher being in class, several of the others of you. It hasn't been that long. Well, it's been 8 years, but it seems like it was yesterday. I know what this is about. I understand this because the 12, trusting in Christ above all things and empowered by him alone, they went out and preached that men should repent. Repent doesn't mean that they preached only the law, shape up or ship out. No. That word repent is shorthand. Shorthand for repent and believe in the word of the Lord, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the closing verses of this gospel selection caution us for putting asunder what God has joined together in this gospel. One, the close association of message and the messenger, and the close association of word and deed. The gospel does not occur in a vacuum. It's preached by people. God has ordained a ministry for the gospel and for the spreading of his word. To reject the messenger is to reject the message. So please don't shoot the messenger. And we get into more of that in the gospel this week and in the Old Testament reading. He who does not receive the messenger does not receive the message. Those 12 that were sent out not only spoke words, they did deeds. They not only preached, but they also cast out devils, anointed with oil, and they healed. My dear friends in Christ, students, professors, families, the gospel is a witness of action as well as words. The gospel is a witness of our lives as well as our mouths. For many of you, I'm sure you learned this verse either in Sunday school, in day school, confirmation, or maybe as you read your Bible daily. The words of the psalmist. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God that passes all human understanding guard and keep your lives in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.